challenges faced by PT Krakatau Steel and called for stronger government support to revive the national steel industry. He pointed out that the company's historical role in Trikora Steel Project and emphasized the need to protect it from imported competition. PT Krakatau Steel's President Director Muhammad Akbar Johan stressed the importance of broader government backing to enhance competitiveness and contribute to Indonesia's economic growth. Listeners, continuing with the news, Culture Minister highlights music role in national identity. Opera Regina with the reports.
Minister of Culture Fadlizon emphasized music's vital role in Indonesia's cultural diplomacy. Speaking at the National Music Day celebrations and the launch of a final compilation of Indonesia Raya songs on Sunday, he highlighted that traditional Indonesian music forms like angklung, gamelan, and kolintang have earned UNESCO recognitions as intangible cultural heritage.
Indonesia's music is vast and diverse, reflecting the cultural and ethnic richness of the archipelago. We also have a thriving modern music scene that has been developing since the 1950s. Some of our music has even earned UNESCO recognitions, including angklung in 2010, gamelan in 2021, desaman dance in 2011, and most recently kolintang in December 2024.
Fadlizon stressed that the Ministry of Culture will continue promoting music as a core element of Indonesia's cultural identity, fostering growth and global recognitions through collaboration with artists and organizations.
Next up, we present the Voice of Indonesia's commentary titled Extreme Weather Mitigation Steps in Indonesia with Anna Trijayakasih.
Today's commentary is on extreme weather mitigation steps in Indonesia. The Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency on its official website stated that during the first week of March 2025, heavy to extreme rain that caused hydrometeorological disasters occurred in several regions in Indonesia. In recent times, news about extreme weather has often been conveyed. The agency states that extreme weather is an abnormal and unusual natural phenomenon characterized by rainfall conditions, wind direction and speed, air temperature, air humidity and visibility that can cause losses, especially to the safety of life and property. As the impact of extreme weather, several areas in Indonesia experienced flooding, including Bekasi in West Java, Pekanbaru in Riau Province, and even the capital city, Jakarta. Thousands of houses were reported to have been hit or affected by flooding. The government is also committed to continuing to monitor the conditions of residents affected by the flood and ensuring that aid distribution runs smoothly. Last week, the head of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, Dwi Korita Karnawati, conveyed the analysis of early warnings for extreme weather showing that the peak trend of rain will occur in the second 10 days of March 2025. In facing conditions like this, all parties must be prepared for the possibility of a disaster. The Indonesian government has taken several mitigation steps, such as weather modification operations to reduce rainfall in affected areas. The Ministry of Communication and Digital and the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency are strengthening the public communication system for early warning for extreme weather and natural disasters so that they can be received by the public more quickly and accurately. Extreme weather cannot be avoided, but its impacts can be mitigated. Therefore, real action to mitigate flooding, especially for people living in areas that are often affected, must be increased. Taking quick anticipatory steps against early weather warnings issued by the agency is also a real action that must be taken. As a typical region that generally only has two seasons, namely dry and rainy seasons, Indonesians tend to pay less attention to weather forecasts. In fact, along with climate change throughout the world, the weather in Indonesia, which was previously considered to be just so and so, has also changed. and can even become extreme. Starting a new habit by monitoring weather reports will certainly have a positive impact on mitigation efforts. Hopefully, there will be no more victims affected by disasters caused by extreme weather. That was commentary today.
Listeners, that commentary concludes today's news bulletin from Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world. Today's quote of the day: intelligence without wealth is dangerous, and love without intelligence is not enough. B.J. Habibie. Baharudin Yusuf Habibie, or known as B.J. Habibie, was born in Parepare, South Sulawesi on 25th of June 1936. B.J. Habibie is a politician, engineer, and scientist, dubbed as the father of aircraft for successfully building the first aircraft in Indonesia in 1995. Habibie's ingenuity gave a great influence in the development of aviation technology, domestically and abroad. And that's today's quote of the day.
Voice of Indonesia.
Lombok Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Lombok Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Rupat Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Rupat Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Rupat Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Rupat Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Rupat Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Rupat Island, you have to cross by boat known as Roro Ship or Roll-on Roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Rupat Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, we will listen to Indonesian Wonder, And today's topic is the Jawatan Forest. So stay tuned and tune in only on Voice of Indonesia.
Banyuwangi never runs out of fascinating tourist destinations, and one of them is the Jawatan Forest, located in Bencoluk Village, Klereng District, Banyuwangi. This 4-hectare forest is managed by Perum Perhutani Banyuwangi Selatan. It offers breathtaking views of giant rain trees that create a magical atmosphere similar to fantasy world. The canopy of these ancient trees forms enchanting natural corridors, making it one of the most photogenic spots in East Java. The Jawatan Forest, which was officially listed as a tourist attraction by the Banyuwangi Regency Tourism Office in June 2018, is only about a 45-minute drive from downtown Banyuwangi and very easily accessible by road. In addition to admiring the beauty of the centuries-old rain trees, visitors can enjoy various exciting activities such as taking a photos, picnic, or even exploring the forest by riding a horse-drawn carriage or horseback. During the morning and late afternoon, sunlight streaming through tree branches creates a dramatic visual effect, making this best time to visit. The facilities at the Jawatan Forest are quite complete. There is a spacious parking area, food stalls offering local dishes, as well as toilets and a prayer room for visitors' convenience. This place is also ideal for families who want to enjoy the natural atmosphere while relaxing. Don't forget to bring your camera to capture the beauty of every corner of this forest. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Satu, kau begitu indah. Dua, kau memang menggoda. Tiga, kau beri harapan aku jadi tak sabar.
Langit, kau begitu gelap malam, menggenapkan hasrat engkau. Ada di sampingku, jangan diamkan aku.
Bawalah aku ke dalam, ke dalam hangat dirimu. Bawalah aku ke sana, menari dalam pelukanmu.
Dekap, dekaplah diriku, dengar kan debaran hati. Jangan kau ragukan aku, engkau bunga jiwaku.
Bawalah aku ke dalam, ke dalam hangat dirimu. Bawalah aku ke sana, menari dalam pelukanmu.
Semakin terbang, melayang ke langit cinta. Andai sejauh itu kau inginkan diriku, ku kan ada untukmu.
Bawalah aku ke dalam, ke dalam hangat dirimu. Bawalah aku ke sana, menari dalam pelukan.
jiwaku.
Kasuami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasuami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasuami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or coat to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasuami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasuami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasuamis. Kasuami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasuami is the initial food in Bhutan's traditional events. Interestingly, kasuami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Bhutan residents. Kasuami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listener, after this, we will listen to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia about each motorcycle or per sepeda motor. So stay tuned and tune in Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and guide you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Anyway, today's topic is about di perusahaan ekspedisi. Di perusahaan ekspedisi, which means at shipping company. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation about per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. This conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a staff at a shipping company in Semarang. The staff told Chris the fee of shipping his motorcycle. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. I'm going to say each word 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Biaya, which means fee. Pengiriman, which means shipping. Dari Semarang, which means from Semarang. Ke Palangkaraya, which means to Palangkaraya. Rp1.300.000, Rp1.300.000, which means Rp1.300.000. Per, which means each. Sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor, which means the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. Berapa biaya, which means how much is the fee. Mengirim, which means to send. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Which means, the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. In the sentence, there is the phrase per sepeda motor, which means for each motorcycle. The word per, which means each, which divides each one of the sepeda motor, or motorcycle. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using expressions per. Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000. Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000, which means membership in this gym is Rp100.000 per month. Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang. Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang, which means the movie ticket is Rp50.000 per person. For your information, Indonesian term for a two-wheeled vehicle is sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. However, most Indonesians call motorcycles as motor, which means motor. In some other regions, they call it kereta, which actually means train. Even some call it with certain motorcycle brands. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
Yogyakarta City is an interesting tourism attraction. It has not only a lot of cultural and artistic heritage, but also has many beautiful and natural tourism objects that can spoil visitors' eyes. One of them is a multi-level waterfall called Grojogan Watu Purbo. Grojogan Watu Purbo, located in Duku Bangunrejo, Merdekorejo Village, Temple District, Slametrejansi, Yogyakarta, is also known as Grojogan Watu Purbo Bangunrejo because it is located in Duku Bangunrejo. Grojogan Watu Purbo has an unusual grojogan or waterfall, such as a six-level terracing and flowed by a series of small waterfalls. The waterfalls from the Krasak River. Grojogan Watu Purbo has actually been existing since 1975. Initially, this place was built because of the Merapi project, which built a dam to hold back lava flow when an eruption occurred. In this area, there is actually a grojogan or a waterfall on the left and right and large old stones. It is not known for sure the age of the stones. That's why it's called Grojogan Watu Purbo, which means ancient rock waterfall. Grojogan Watu Purbo is famous for its very beautiful scenery with six levels of towering waterfalls. The best view is seen in the morning when the sun rises, coupled with the chirping of birds greeting visitors. The rocks that decorate the river are also so exotic, it's ideal to be a stepping place when playing water. This place is appropriate for all ages. Visitors can explore every corner of Grojogan Watu Purbo and every level, and also sit on a large rock while looking at the beauty of Grojogan. You can also swim here and of course don't miss taking selfies. The best time to visit Grojogan Watu Purbo is the rainy season, but you should avoid it when the rainfall is too heavy.
Dan akhirnya tiada yang kan mampu. gelapnya putus asa. Di benampan dunia ke dalam lembah yang tak berdasar, segala doa terucap dalam diam yang panjang. Karena hanya dia yang mengerti tanpa ku bersuara, hanya
corner segment, we present a Keroncong song entitled 1984 by Superman Is Dead. The song written by I. Gede Ari Astina, also known as Jerings and Roy Parsua, was released on a digital video streaming platform on November 28, 2024. Inspired by George Orwell's dystopian novel 1984, the song is a tribute to individual and collective freedom threatened by both local and global oligarchies under the guise of pandemics and natural disasters. Well, listener, here is Superman Is Dead with the song 1984. Happy listening.
Datang di dunia progresif, dan kiri dan kanan tajam ia diperdebatkan. Meskipun telah terbukti sebagai racun, tekanlah populasi santun lenyapkan senyum. Kita adalah generasi yang menyaksikan dunia kehilangan kode moralnya. 1984 fasis ia berpesta di panggung peragaan busananya. Tak diundang kau tak punya apa-apa, namun kau kan bahagia, itu kata mereka. Ku tahu aku tak sendiri hadapi semua ini, dikala oligarki sibuk bermain tuan. Alasannya wabah bencana alam, wey. Untuk menjadi manusia yang merdeka selamanya, kau potong lidah yang berani tandingi narasi, sepasuk itu dominasimu. Terlahir diberkati dengan akal budi, berhak atas informasi dari semua sisi, media kiri kanan dan selebriti, yeah. We'll be right back.
sibuk bermain Tuhan. Alasannya wabah bencana alam. Oh, semakin kuat membaca tekadku untuk menjadi manusia yang merdeka selamanya. Kau potong lidah yang berani tani narasi sepatu itu dominasi.
Thank you so much for a listener for accompanying me in today's broadcast. But don't go anywhere, because after this there'll be a lot of more program and information that will accompany you in the next hours on Voice of Indonesia. And don't forget that you can send your critic suggestion and also information through our social media. In Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia. Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. Instagram and TikTok in VOI double underscore official. We also have our email address in voi@voinews.id and WhatsApp number and +62 821 2381 2130. Again, +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much, Voice listener. My name is Ray, and always stay tuned in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Jakarta. Inilah siaran luar negeri Voice of Indonesia. Siaran dalam bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz atau melalui website www.voinews.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia.
From Indonesia to the world.
Dari Jakarta, inilah Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia. Selamat bergabung kembali pendengar di seluruh dunia dalam siaran berbahasa Indonesia. Saya Agus Antika hadir menemani Anda di hari Senin ini yang penuh semangat. Satu jam ke depan kita akan bersama dengan informasi terkini, musik pilihan, dan cerita seru seputar Indonesia. Mari kita awali kebersamaan hari ini dengan menyimak kabar terkini dari tanah air bersama rekan saya Sumarno dalam Warta Berita.
Dari Jakarta, Voice of Indonesia dalam Warta Berita.
Voice of Indonesia menyampaikan Warta Berita. Inilah sari berita Indonesia. musik Indonesia jadi instrumen diplomasi budaya di kancah internasional. DPR dorong dukungan optimal untuk kebangkitan industri baja nasional. Bersama saya Sumarno, inilah Warta Berita selengkapnya. Menteri Kebudayaan Fadli Zon menyoroti peran penting musik sebagai instrumen diplomasi budaya Indonesia di kancah internasional. Hal ini disampaikan dalam acara peringatan Hari Musik Nasional dan peluncuran kompilasi piringan hitam lagu Indonesia Raya yang digelar pada Minggu 9 Maret 2025. Ia menekankan berbagai jenis musik tradisional Indonesia telah mendapatkan pengakuan dunia seperti angklung, gamelan, dan kolintang yang telah diakui UNESCO sebagai warisan budaya tak benda.
Kekayaan musik Indonesia sangat luas dan beragam, mencerminkan keragaman budaya dan etnis di seluruh Nusantara. Kita sangat kaya sekali dengan genre musik modern yang berkembang pesat sejak era tahun 1950-an. Dan beberapa musik Indonesia telah mendapatkan pengakuan atau telah kita inskripsikan di UNESCO sebagai warisan budaya tak benda dunia atau intangible cultural heritage of humanity, seperti angklung. Musik angklung ini tahun 2010, kemudian gamelan tahun 2021, tari saman, tari memang ada pengiring musiknya juga, ini di tahun 2011, dan yang terbaru akhir tahun lalu bulan Desember adalah kolintang, ya, tahun 2024.
Lebih lanjut, Fadli John menyampaikan, Kementerian Kebudayaan terus berupaya memastikan musik sebagai bagian integral dari kebudayaan Indonesia agar terus berkembang dan mendapat apresiasi yang layak baik di tingkat nasional maupun internasional. Upaya ini dilakukan melalui berbagai inisiatif dan kolaborasi dengan para tokoh musik, musisi, pencipta lagu, penyanyi, serta organisasi terkait. Dengan dukungan dari berbagai pihak, diharapkan ekosistem musik Indonesia semakin kuat dan mampu bersaing di panggung global. Berita selanjutnya. Ketua Kamar Dagang dan Industri Indonesia, Anindya Nupian Bakri, bertemu dengan Sekretaris Jenderal Partai Komunis Vietnam, Tom Lam, pada Minggu sore. Kunjungan delegasi Vietnam juga menandai peringatan 17 tahun hubungan diplomatik antara kedua negara. Dalam pertemuan tersebut, Anindya dan Tolam membahas kerjasama di berbagai sektor dengan fokus pada pertumbuhan perdagangan, industri dan investasi di bidang pertanian, perikanan dan transisi energi.
Indonesia Vietnam mempunyai perdagangan 16 miliar dolar, naik hampir 20% dari tahun sebelumnya, dan ini merupakan suatu hal yang luar biasa dan bahkan bisa lebih besar lagi. Nah, ke depannya kita melihat kerjasama perdagangan di bidang tentunya agrikultur, fishery, tapi juga untuk investasi di bidang energi transisi sampai kepada elektronik maupun semikonduktor. Dan tentunya kita juga sudah melihat banyak perusahaan Indonesia sudah mulai investasi di Vietnam, terutama dari sisi properti, dan sebaliknya perusahaan Vietnam sudah banyak juga yang investasi di Indonesia seperti dalam bidang electric vehicle, VinFast, maupun turisme.
Kamar Dagang dan Industri Indonesia meyakini kemitraan yang semakin erat antara Indonesia dan Vietnam dapat meningkatkan nilai perdagangan dan menempatkan kedua negara sebagai penggerak ekonomi utama di Asia Tenggara. Berita terakhir. Anggota Komisi 6 DPR RI Kawendra Lukistian memahami tantangan finansial yang dihadapi PT Krakatau Steel dan menekankan pentingnya dukungan kebijakan optimal untuk kebangkitan industri baja nasional. Melansir dpr.go.id di Jakarta Senin 10 Maret, Kawendra menyoroti sejarah panjang Krakatau Steel sebagai bagian dari proyek baja Trikora yang diinisiasi Presiden Soekarno dan mengharap formula terbaik dapat ditemukan untuk melindungi industri baja nasional dari persaingan produk impor. Direktur Utama PT Krakatau Steel, Muhammad Akbar Johan, mengungkapkan perlunya dukungan pemerintah yang lebih luas, tidak hanya melalui hubungan bisnis antara perusahaan atau B2B, tetapi juga melalui kerjasama antar pemerintah atau G2G. Menurut Akbar, dukungan ini diharapkan dapat memberikan stabilitas dan daya saing bagi Krakatau Steel di tengah persaingan global yang ketat. Ia juga berharap industri baja nasional dapat terus berkembang dan